Hello, and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono.
And I'm Anil Lewis. Glad you guys could join us.
Yeah, we're very glad to have you. How have you been doing, Anil?
I've been great. Oh, man, Thanksgiving was the bomb.
Oh, what did you do?
Ate.
Well, that's, I mean, is there anything else? Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Any football thrown in for good measure or no?
Football. Yeah, there was some football. I forgot about that. Okay. In between eating and sleeping.
You know, that's great.
It was awesome.
We actually had some people over for Thanksgiving who, a couple of them have just sort of recently started working at the national office here. And one is the leader, upcoming leader in our Maryland affiliate. And we kind of figured out that they maybe didn't have anywhere else that they could go easily on Thanksgiving. So we invited them, and it was a very, very nice afternoon and evening.
That's what the holiday's all about.
It was. It was really, really nice. We definitely enjoyed having them over. But we're not here to talk about Thanksgiving, believe it or not. We're here to talk about, what?
Mentoring.
Mentoring.
Oh, there's no song for mentoring.
There could be, though. I think you should work on it.
I'll leave that to you. No.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll work on it.
You're more talented in that space than me.
Well, you had your Who's It Water Bottle song,
but
you know. Yeah. And Marching for Independence. You had, what do you mean you're not? I disagree with that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's it. It's exhausted. That's all my talent. One little thimble.
One fail swoop.
you nailed it.
All out there. Yeah. All gone.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Anil has left the building.
He's here all night. No. Yeah. Anyway, we had some really great responses on social media.
I love that our listeners are getting active in this social media space.
I love it, too. It's making me so happy.
Yeah, we were in there all alone in this little virtual reality kind of existence, and now there are people that have joined us.
Yeah,
so thank you.
They're really out there. They like us. So we're going to do something a little different. We're going to scatter the social media submissions throughout the podcast.
Let's just toss them around.
But I like this one to start with. I really like this one to start with. It's Mary Church, and she says, I have had several positive mentors from the Federation. I love showing them all the progress I have made since I was 14 and started. Mm. Now it's my turn to mentor and still be mentored.
Nice.
And
nice.
I love that, because that is really what mentoring's all about, and that's what the National Federation of the Blind is all about.
Evolving to a space where you learn and then you start giving back. Because what good is it for us to help all of these people acquire the skill set, right? Or even more importantly, specifically to myself, what good would it have been for all of those people to invest their time and energy in helping me evolve if I didn't go back and pay that forward to others?
No, absolutely true. And I just think our organization, I think it happens in other places, but there's no accident that love is the first part of the words that we say. With love, hope, and determination, we transform dreams into reality. And there's no accident that love is first.
Yep.
And so
Beautifully said.
I think it's wonderful.
I agree.
So you had a chance, though, to talk to a young woman who was in a mentoring program a while back in Georgia, right?
Yes, Lakeisha Holmes. That's, I tell you, they all call me Grandpa.
Oh.
We all, you know, in that Georgia experience during the early 2000s when we had the opportunity to actually be a part of that demonstration project of mentoring for the Federation, came to know each other in a real way. So it was really a joy, you know, revisiting with her and wow, just like that previous tweet said, it's just amazing to see how far they've come, right? And the fact that they're now contributing as mentors themselves. So it was a really good conversation.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's take a listen to that conversation.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Anil Lewis, and I have the pleasure of speaking to one of my wonderful little mentees, this wonderful young lady. Well, she's an adult now, kids of her own, but I knew her when she was only a little one, Lakeisha Holmes. How are you doing, Lakeisha?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I remember you way back when, those after-school times over at the center where we would come in and teach you guys how to use Access Tech. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. You actually made me teach a class.
you remember what?
You made me teach the class
I didn't make you. I just knew that that's what you wanted to do. I have forgotten all about that, but that is one of the tools that we use. The best way to show whether someone really learned something is whether they can teach someone else. But it's just so funny, you know, to me, just reflecting back on those times when, you know, high school. Wow, I'm feeling really old now. But we had a lot of fun, had a lot of fun doing that. And I don't think that in that particular point we kind of saw ourselves as as mentors, the adults that were working in the after school program. You know, it all kind of stemmed from Miss Annie and what she did at the center with the STARS program and taking all the blind kids out into the woods and creating all these experiences that got you guys to be exposed to so many different things. And I think I learned a lot in helping with that process, too. Do you remember those days? What do you remember fondly about those days?
I remember the retreats a lot. We learned a lot during those times. We did career-based activities, but then we also did fun stuff, campfires and talent shows. Those the talent show is like probably the best thing that I remember from the retreat.
Oh, I remember that too. Yeah, with the campfires out in the dark. I forget who the gentleman was that told the little scary stories. But just in your own words, how important do you think it was that there were so many blind adults in that space that were serving as role models and mentors through that process?
I know for me it was very important. It allowed me to connect with blind adults. I was the only blind student in my school when I first started the STARS program, and I didn't know any blind children or adults. And so going to that program allowed me to meet a lot of people, and then it also connected me to other organizations such as the NFB. And my best friend, I've known her since, I don't know, forever. And I met her because of the STARS program. And she's like the longest friendship I've ever had.
Oh, nice. So, you're not going to give her a shout out on the podcast?
Yeah, Shelby.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Shelby Ball.
Yeah, there you go. All of these for my listeners need to know that these are all, well, they call me grandpa now. They're all my grandchildren. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Lakeisha. That's really cool. And again, like I said, the benefit for me was wanting, you know, to really have some positive impact on the lives of blind youth so that they didn't have to go through, you know, all the struggles that other people have that haven't had good role models. But surprisingly enough, I mean, that experience helped me grow so much. Interacting with you guys challenged me to be better. I'll always remember Isaiah Wilcox was another mentee in the program. And I remember when he won the scholarship and his mom was saying, well, you should be like Mr. O'Neill. And, you know, Isaiah being Isaiah said, yeah, I'm going to be better. But that's good because then he challenged me because I told him I'm not going to make it easy. So he challenged me to be a better me, to make him a better him. So let's talk about your evolution through the program. So you participated in that. And then at one point we decided to make it formal by establishing the Georgians Empowered Through Mentoring Success, a formal mentoring program of the National Federation of the Blind of Georgia, where we brought all these young people in and we paired them with successful blind adults. Talk about that a little bit. Was that helpful? Do you think that it evolved the program at all or the experience at all?
It was helpful. It got me to expand more than just doing fun things. We actually got to learn how to be kind of professional. We did different workshops. And then we also got to learn a lot about the NFB philosophy because it was kind of geared around the NFB. And so I want to say attending that program was my first trip out of state to the National Center.
Oh, wow.
If I'm thinking correctly. And so my first long road trip, I'll say. And so it opened up a lot of opportunities towards learning about employment, learning about or meeting blind adults who actually believe in the NFB philosophy, use the type of techniques that I learned later on when I got older. And so it was very helpful. I still have connections with people from that program today.
Excellent. And you talked about blind people, you know, who believed in you and believed in your capacity. Do you have any reflections of some of the tough love moments? Because I think that some of the things that we do as mentoring is we tell the truth to blind youth, you know, where society sometimes likes to tell them all these wonderful things about how amazing they are, but we tell them the truth. Do you have any examples of that?
Oh, man.
You don't want to put yourself on blast.
I don't know. The only thing I can think of, I remember the first trip that we went on, it was my first time meeting my mentor. I had Robbie Huff as my mentor.
Oh, Robbie.
And she was like a former elementary school teacher, I want to say. And she had just went blind. And it was also my first time hanging out with Isaiah and with Shelby and those other guys.
That's a lot.
And I kept leaving her. And so she yelled at me. She's like, they're not your mentor. I am. So it kind of reminded me that I need to have my car registry.
Well, I at least like that because one of the things that our programs, we try to make them fun, but the primary focus is to make sure you're learning something as you go. So, yeah, I mm-hmm. agree with you. That's one of the toughest things as a mentor, to make sure they recognize that, you know, it's not about going water rafting all the time. You know,
yeah.
you got to make mm-hmm. it so that you learn something. So I'd like to move toward a close, though, but I really would be remiss if I didn't say that as a result of your interaction, you talked about the NFP philosophy, and part of our philosophy is definitely training individuals to want to give back. You know, it's one thing to mm-hmm. learn it, but it's another thing to teach it. But then you evolved in a lot of ways. You ended up being a Braille instructor at a local community rehabilitation program. You were the president mm-hmm. of our Georgia Association of Blind Students. Tell us about some of the other things you've done to give back to some of the other blind youth. Because you did eventually become a mentor in our program.
Yes, I was a mentor in the gym program as well as the STARS program. I had two mentees. And I worked in Colorado at the Colorado Center for the Blind for 2 years, teaching Braille.
Awesome.
I worked at the Louisiana Center for the Blind teaching Braille after I graduated in 2013.
Nice.
And my last opportunity was working for Blind Industries and Services of Maryland. I was, coincidentally, the assistive technology instructor.
Excellent. Thank you for laughing, but I'm sure you were great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other piece we'll leave on this because we have a segue to other podcasts in the future. You're also a mama. You've got one little one, Zane, and you have another one on the way.
Yeah.
So you're a blind parent, and we're hopefully going to be talking to you about the end-all, be-all of being a great blind parent as we move forward. You have anything else to offer to our listeners before we say goodbye?
Thank you for the opportunity. Emil is a great guy. I mean, grandpa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, we got to definitely keep that regardless how we edit. Got to keep that out there. Well, Lakeisha, I love you, and I really appreciate you being available for us to talk on this podcast today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I really love having those conversations because it's just so rewarding knowing that, again, in our messaging, that my contributions have made a difference to myself and to others. But it's really wonderful, you know, having the expression of that type of relationship through this organization. Just fills me with love, hope, and determination.
Well, it should. So I do have another social media post to share, and this is from Adriana Sky Mendez. She's a new part of the Texas Mentoring Program, and she says, I am new to this program, but I feel certain that it will highly benefit me. I am super excited to begin a new chapter in my life. So I really like that message because it talks about a new program. She's a new part of the program, but I guess the Texas program has been going on for a while, right?
Yeah, Texas has been one of the original ones back when Georgia initiated through our mentoring grant back in the early 2000s, along with Utah, and I think Louisiana, and there was some others. I just can't recall them off the top of my head.
Yeah, but now I know there's a new one in Virginia, and I think Georgia's reinstituted theirs.
Absolutely.
I think there's a reason, right?
As a result of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which the National Federation of the Blind advocated for a lot of the language, part of that was the requirement for state agencies to spend 15% of their budget on pre-employment transition services for young students with disabilities. And as a result of that, Virginia's, South Carolina, Georgia, some of our other affiliates have really developed some programs. And for the other affiliates who, you know, need a little support in developing that programming, we develop our career mentoring program on a national level. We're already working in Mississippi, Nebraska, and Maryland. Those programs have really taken off, and we're looking at onboarding some other affiliates as we move forward.
And Chris Danielson talked to Maurice Pere about that because Maurice was hired to help run that program, right?
Yep, he's the coordinator of our mentoring programs, and he's probably going to explain what we're doing a little bit better than I would have.
Well, great. Let's listen to the interview.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Chris Danielson, and I am here with
Maurice Pere.
Hi, Maurice. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. This is exciting. I'm on the other end of the podcast. I'm a listener of the Nation's Blind Podcast, so this is pretty exciting.
Well, we're excited to have you because you have something pretty cool to talk about.
I do?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, right. I do. That's right.
I mean, you always have cool things to say, but in particular, we want to talk to you today about the new career mentoring program or initiative that we have going on. So explain to us a little bit about what that is.
Well, the NFB Career Mentoring Program really is an exciting program for several reasons. The most important to me is that it's kind of like getting paid to eat dessert. Because the fact of the matter is the National Federation of the Blind, if there's one thing we've done in the many decades of our existence, it's mentoring. So we know how to do that. We do that very well in a number of ways that we mentor. What makes this program different is that there are now federal guidelines that facilitate our working with state agencies to actually, you know, fund our ability to wrap our mentoring programs around those factors that will lead to these young people's success in life, to live the lives they want.
Terrific. So how this works then is that we partner with state agencies?
That's right. So as a result of the signing of the Workforce Innovation Act in 2014, I'm dating myself, states are required to use 15% of their federal VR funds, or vocational rehabilitation funds, towards transition age youth. And this is a population that, frankly, has been neglected in terms of services for too long. So this allows us to kind of come in, partner with those agencies, and provide essentially predetermined or 5 required activities around pre-employment transition services.
So translated into non-VR speak, yeah. what do we actually do in partnership with the state agencies?
Right. So we're getting young people ready for work. We're getting them thinking seriously about their futures and what they want to do. You know, I had a thought in interacting with some of our mentees actually yesterday, and this thought came to mind that, you know, there are things in life that are have-tos, you know, things that we have to do. But I think our goal is want-tos, you know, having a career or becoming a student and getting up in the morning and wanting to do that.
Wanting to go to work,
having
a job that is part of living the life you want, having the job you want.
Exactly. So that's the whole point. Now, in order to get to the want-tos, there are a few have-tos that we need to look at, but it really is a transformative process of, you know, wrapping our heads and getting together, and that's where the mentoring and the relationships come from, inspiring these young people. And gosh, you know, this guy Chris Danielson, he's got a pretty cool job. He gets to do all these really cool things. You know, a young person may think, I couldn't possibly do that. That's out of reach to me. Or, gee, I sure would like to do that. But really transforming that from a dream into how do I get there? How do I actually put that into real concrete practice?
Okay, so what we're essentially doing is a more formal version of what we've done a lot of in the past is pairing these young people, connecting them with mentors who are in careers in which they might be interested if they could only learn how it might be done as a blind person.
Exactly. And in the latest iteration of this program, it's not only a pairing, right? So you could be mentoring me, Chris, and that would be a fantastic thing, but life sometimes inserts itself, and there are more things that could disrupt that process. So what we have is a matrix. That means we're so dedicated and committed to these young people that there are 2 to 3 mentors assigned to each mentee so they get a real breadth of experience and interests and vocational goals that they can look at, not just one blind positive role model, but a group of them.
That's fantastic. That's mm-hmm. that's really a great thing. So essentially, these young people will have a little network of support.
Exactly.
So we're working with state agencies. What states is this program active in right now?
We currently have agreements in the states of Nebraska. Yay, Nebraska, if you're listening, and Mississippi. And these are fantastic programs. And we just have an agreement with the state of Maryland, which is very exciting. We're here in Maryland and
right.
beginning the process of really recruiting mentees and mentors. and with hopefully other states to come and other things that we're going to look at since this is a national initiative. But we'll start with these pilot programs in these states and find ways to expand the program as it catches fire.
And do we still need more mentors in those states, or have we got what we need for now in terms of recruiting?
I'm not sure I'll ever be able to tell you we have enough mentors and mentees signed up. There are applications online that are very easy to fill out. We definitely need more mentors than mentees.
So, right.
And we need, in order to have that breadth of experience and interests and hobbies and all that, we need as many mentors to keep signing up as possible, and mentees as well. Because even in those states where we don't currently have agreements or contracts with those state agencies, there are other things that we can do. Essentially, what we're offering these young people is the National Federation of the Blind.
Absolutely. And that's the gift that we have to give. I understand some of the mentors and mentees were actually at the national convention. What was that like?
This was phenomenal. What we were able to do, you know, Chris, and many of our listeners will know, the national convention is, in fact, several mini conventions and conferences all wrapped up into one.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentoring program was no exception. We put together a program for the whole week that was centered around pre-employment services. What that means is discussing job exploration and enrollment in higher education, on-the-job experiences where these young people had an opportunity to serve others and function in a job and get a taste of that, and self-advocacy. And so they were involved with discussions, attended meetings of the National Association of Blind Students, and were involved in those activities in the context of, you know, 2,500 other blind people and their many vast interests, hobbies, vocations. And so it was an exciting time for us during that week, and one that we're continuing to build on now. So there's still ripple effects.
Fantastic. Well, I know the National Convention is and has been a life-changing experience for many of us, so I'm sure it was for these young people as well. Well, thanks, Maurice. So we'll post in the show notes the location of the online applications and so forth, so people can start thinking about getting involved, right?
Please sign up. We need you. https://nfb.org/mentor application or mentee application.
Super. Thank you so much, Maurice.
It was a pleasure, Chris,
talking with you.
My pleasure.
Well, it's wonderful work that we are undertaking. And I, again, you might have said this before, Anil, but this is just something that our organization has been doing for a long time. It's really nice to get be able to do it in a more formalized way and take advantage of some of the money that could come with that. I mean, I think, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. So. I mean, we always say that it's the love and the volunteer spirit of the organization that allows us to be so impactful, but leveraging that with some funding to do some things in a real way allows us to do that in an exponential fashion. And it's really good to have Maurice on board. I think that he has kind of an internal sense of interacting with these young people that's really going to be encouraging and empowering.
I definitely agree. Having known Maurice for a while now, that's definitely true. We have another social media clip. We need a little jingle or something, you know? Social media time. I don't know. That'd be
Again,
kind of fun.
I'll leave that to you guys.
Okay, I'll think about it. You know,
I'm
Karen
done.
Anderson, our producer, you know, she's pretty musically talented,
there
too.
You go.
So, you know, maybe we could come up with something. And then there's Will Schwatka, our sound guy and recording guy. Maybe he has some ideas. We'll bring you something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is from Rachel Olivero, and she writes, "There is no way I would be as successful as I am or possibly even employed without mentors. Mm. When I first found the Federation, it was talking about blindness with," and she's tweeting, so she says, "at Rick Abono and at NFBWIS, so the NFB of Wisconsin. Members, and all my new NFB family that truly convinced me blindness wouldn't hold me back."
Nice.
Man, I've known Rachel for so long, and, you know, she was somebody that President Rick Abono mentored when he was state president in Wisconsin, yeah. but not the national president. Nice. And yeah, it was. I could tell some Rachel stories. I will refrain. I'm sure she'll be very happy about that. But
we'll put them in our note. No, I'm kidding.
But it's very cool. Very, very cool that and again, one of those things that I think if you ask President Riccobono about it, it was just that he had been mentored so much mm-hmm. that, of course, he saw a young person that had a lot of potential and he just wanted to give back
yeah,
in that
and it's
way.
Just done in a normal course
yes,
of things.
Yes.
Yeah, I see that all the time, especially around national convention. Mm-hmm. You know, people walk up to you and say, "Do you remember me?" Yeah. Okay, that's first thing. No.
No.
But then they'll go and they'll tell you the story of how what you did yeah. just in passing impacted their lives in such a big way.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Those little acts of kindness, there's a lot to be said about those mm-hmm. for sure. So you sat down with President Riccobono, who now is President Riccobono.
Yeah. And talked about his mentoring experiences. I wish I would have heard that tweet before I spoke with him, because it would have been cool to see if he remembered that pivotal moment that he had impacting Rachel's life. But he did share with us some of his particular experiences as a mentor. So I think it was very helpful, to have this moment to share with the president during the presidential privilege. Let's take a listen. Welcome back to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and it's my privilege to talk to President Riccobono during the presidential privilege portion of the Nation's Blind Podcast. Sir, thank you for joining us again today.
Thank you. My privilege. There was a lot of P's in that introduction.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm surprised that I was able to pull that off, you know, considering the wee hours of the day.
Yeah.
So, as you know, our whole podcast theme this month is around mentoring. That's what the organization, the National Federation of the Blind, is kind of based on. That's a fundamental tool that we've done kind of informally since our conception. First of all, for you to maybe share with our listeners your perspective on mentoring.
So mentoring, well, you know, the interesting thing about the Federation is that it really has been built on mentoring, this each one, teach one idea mm-hmm. that we in our organization pass information on. We're not trying to build a secret treasure trove of information, that in fact we share information with each other in many different ways, and that's evolved over time. A lot of the sharing happens very informally, often around a dinner table with a meal or out traveling in the community. Mm-hmm. And as we have grown the scope of our organization, a lot of the mentoring has happened in more formal settings through our education programs, our scholarship program.
Definitely.
Obviously.
Let's start back at a 30,000-foot view. Yeah. We're assuming that a lot of our listeners know about our scholarship program. So why don't we take this quick opportunity, since the applications are going live, to talk briefly about the scholarship program and then how the mentoring component plays into that.
The scholarship program is very competitive, and one of the reasons is that in addition to merit scholarships, and our scholarships range from 3,000 to 12,000, and in reality, they're actually larger than that. Dr. Ray Kurzweil often contributes $1,000 above and beyond each of those base amounts, and, mm-hmm. and Google also has been contributing and has committed to next year contributing an additional $1,000 to match Ray. So that's $5,000 at
Excellent.
The bottom end.
Yeah.
And the big advantage of the scholarship program for the finalists is not just the money, but the real mentoring that happens. So we select finalists, not winners. We don't decide in advance who wins which scholarship. We pick 30 individuals, and we invite them to come to the convention of the National Federation of the Blind. Well, I say we invite them. It's actually a requirement to get the scholarship. We want people to show up and to get the mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And the finalists get mentoring from the members of the committee, who are all individuals who are successful blind people living the lives they want in a variety of fields with a variety of life experience. They know the empowering philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind and how to apply it in their everyday life to make sure that low expectations don't prevent them from achieving their dreams, and how to work with other blind people and who the blind people are in the community. So when someone says to a member of the committee, gosh, you know, I've always wanted to do chemistry, but I've never really known how to do it, it's not that the member of the committee knows how to do chemistry necessarily, but they'll know that we have a science and engineering division. And in fact, they'll probably know the people to talk to. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been scholarship finalists before, which is one reason why they know them. So they get that individual one-on-one, but then they also get the group. The scholarship finalists have events where they go from table to table and meet many members of the committee for brief snippets. And the beauty of it is, even if they don't get to spend a lot of time with these folks, they can call upon them later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really interested in writing, and I didn't get to spend time with Gary Wunder as a mentor, but I can now call him up and say, hey, you remember me? I was a scholarship finalist, and I wanted to talk to you about how do you work as an editor of a magazine or whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I was a scholarship winner in 2002, and that was definitely one of the powerful pieces of that experience, because it's not, like you said, it's not the money, it's the federation, and the relationships that established then still live with me today.
Yeah.
So mentoring is integral in a lot of the programs that we do with the federation, even with some of our youth programs. I think that one of the things that makes our programming unique is we implement mentoring in those particular experiences as well.
A key part of our programming is what happens in the downtime. So whether it's our science programs, our Braille enrichment programs, it's the interaction with blind individuals. And now the wonderful thing that we have is the mentors, especially the younger mentors that we have, are individuals that came up through our programs 10 years ago. So the folks that were in our early Science Academy programs, or, you know, for that matter, in our early Braille enrichment programs, are now coming back, and of course, they're passing it on. And they're also more in tune with what the experience is like for those going through the program. And so their mentoring is actually stronger than some of the early mentors who we had, who were great blind people, teachers and role models, but they didn't come through one of these federation programs when they were young. So the younger folks that we get have a grounding in what we do, but they're also closer in age. And of course, that presents some challenges too, right? So what we do in our programs is we have very skilled instructors who can be there alongside of mentors who are younger to also guide them. And of course, the mentors, especially the younger ones, they're learning more about themselves in the process. And I think that's really one of the values of the Federation that gets missed. I know that in the experiences where I've thought, I kind of got this figured out now, when trying to pass it on to someone else and mentor someone else, you really learn a lot about yourself, your expectations for yourself, and how to present it in a way that makes sense to someone else. That can be challenging because people think differently, learn differently, and react differently. And so that's where our mentors benefit and get even stronger.
What about you? Do you have an experience that you can share with our listeners of how the Federation's mentoring impacted you as a mentee?
It's hard to pinpoint one experience because it seems like they all run together. One mentoring experience leads to the next. And I guess the story I like to tell isn't necessarily a mentee story, but it kind of is for me. At one of our national conventions, I guess it was 2011, we were showing off the vehicle that we had built for blind people to drive. And we had been driving it in a parking lot at the end of the Shingle Creek property. I had gotten an assignment to drive some dignitaries around the parking lot, which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it was a big deal at the time.
That's a big deal when you're talking about a blind guy driving dignitaries around it.
So I left there, and it were not many people around in the ballroom area at this point. It was not late in the evening, but people had scattered to other parts of the hotel. And I came to the escalators, and there was this young man from Illinois. I don't know how old he was, but 20, 21 maybe. It was clear he first time really out on his own. And he was looking at this escalator. He was touching the rail and feeling around with his cane. And he said, "Well, I'm trying to figure out how to ride this thing." And, you know, by this, I was tired. I was hungry. I had been working with people all day. I wanted a little quiet time. And I said, "Well, I'll show you how to ride the escalator. It's no problem." And, you know, at first I was kind of annoyed by this guy blocking the escalator. That's where I started with this. And so we talked about the escalator and, you know, what you do. And he got on the escalator and I got on behind him. And then we got to the top and I said, "You know, you go down the down escalator the same way." And I sometimes say, I think that guy's still riding the escalators at Shingle Creek. But I think it's my mentee experiences in the Federation are a lot like that. I didn't even know I really needed a mentor. But because I was hanging around blind people who had a spirit of giving, mm-hmm. when I had a need, someone would say, "Oh, I can show you how to do that. You were wondering how do you effectively use one of these canes, or how do you determine X, Y, or Z, or whatever it is." The mentee experiences I have had were really when I didn't even know I needed a mentor.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, because I didn't even know that there was a solution to the problem.
Right, or even that it was kind of solving a problem.
Yeah, or possible. Yeah,
yeah, that's insightful. And I think that's really both a benefit and kind of pulls away from the organization. It's a benefit because so many of those things happen organically.
Yeah.
And we as an organization have grown as a result of it. As we try to make sure that the entities out there respect what we know through our life experience, because we haven't done it in a formal fashion that's documented through research, et cetera, some external entities don't feel that there's validity in what we do.
Yeah, and that's where we really are more and more promoting this idea of a community of practice and what we do and finding ways to gather research, you know, and which we've been doing for the last decade. We had a mentoring program about 10 years ago through the Department of Education where we gathered data on mentoring pairs from mm-hmm. states. And, you know, part of what we have found, and this is why we continue to emphasize people getting to events like our national convention. Telephone's nice, internet's okay, but the best outcomes are really when people can get together face to face.
Absolutely.
And that's where those unplanned, unstructured experiences come up. And that's why we emphasize building our local chapters and getting people to our state conventions. Because that's where the real possibilities for mentoring can happen. And I think anybody who has stepped into one of those conventions, one of those meetings, understands that. It's different than when we get a call here at our national office from someone that's just, you know, lost vision. We can give them some resources. But if we can get them connected to someone in their local community who can come knock on their door and sit down at their table— it's real. It's different than talking to a voice on the end of the phone.
Yeah. Powerful. And I think that a lot of people miss that just in the interaction with the organization. So I'm glad that we're able to have this podcast about mentoring to show our members and those individuals who are just listening to our podcast that may not have decided to become members of the organization yet to understand that that's the core. And we state it as a family, and that's true. But that family component really leans itself to us mentoring one another. And it's not just each one teach one in the Federation. each one tries our best to teach everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have anything else to offer before we close out?
Well, I think mentoring means so many things to us in this organization. I would encourage anybody listening to this podcast that there are many opportunities to be mentored and to be a mentor in the National Federation of the Blind, whether it's our Blind Parents Initiative, whether it's helping a newly blind adult learn about our Newsline system or learn about different tools and techniques that are out there, whether it's getting someone a free white cane through our organization, or whether it's just showing up at one of our meetings and saying, hey, I'm looking for a mentor. And I would encourage anybody to do that. Don't be shy about that, because we have members who are ready and willing to jump in. And sometimes we don't jump in because we don't know people are looking for help.
Yeah.
And I hope that since we're sitting here together as mentors, you're going to share those M&Ms over there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have to share them. They're not peanut M&Ms.
Oh.
So although they're good, you know, they're not the best because, you know. So
we should have a podcast about M&Ms sometime. You can use M&Ms to teach Braille, you know.
We'll talk that over with our producer. But of course, you know, it's your privilege as president to to state whatever. Again, this will not go off the rails. Thank you, President Riccobono, for another insightful episode of our Presidential Privilege. I hope that our listeners have learned more about the mentoring that takes place within the Federation. And we're looking forward to our next conversation on the next podcast.
Well, I know it is a privilege for you to
always
do the privilege.
It's the privilege to have the Presidential Privilege.
No, I think it's still one of my favorite parts of every episode. I love that our members get a chance to just hear you or me or whoever does a privilege. You know, just talking with the president. It's a very good thing.
Just makes him a real person. So
that then, and he is.
Yeah, he really is.
A real person.
Most people don't think so.
That's right, but he really, really is. Yeah. But, you know, he talked about scholarships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw that this social media post from Sarah Padnod says that the mentoring I've received is the reason I'm the woman, leader, and Federationist I am today.
Look at that.
I'm forever grateful for my NFB of Virginia family, my scholarship mentors,
woo-hoo,
and those I met during my internship at NFB Voice.
Yes, she
thank
was
you
an NFB summer
for
intern.
Always encouraging and challenging me. Now, scholarships, you do get mentored during the scholarship class experience, and scholarship applications are open. Ding,
go.
Ding, 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 ding.
I so please. Back to school, so I should apply, so I could apply.
Go to nfb.org/scholarships with an S and look at the application. The deadline is March 31st, so you have a lot of time, but don't be like me, okay? Don't wait.
Did you win a scholarship? Still
the very, I did.
Oh, then
but
there you
still,
go.
No, you can be like me in that way. But don't procrastinate like I did and worry. Now, of course, this was back in the day when everything wasn't online. So I was really worried that my paper stuff just would not get
to the
NFB.
The
oh, I didn't even know you could fax it. Yeah. I didn't know that you could at the time that I was doing it.
Well,
anyway,
mine was 2002. That's the best scholarship class ever.
No, no. Mine was 2000. That was the best scholarship class.
Until 2002.
Yeah, but anyway.
But it's a competitive process. But
it is.
You don't get awarded a scholarship if you don't apply.
That's right. So apply early. Don't apply often. Just apply early and get it out of the way. And then you could just go to your holidays feeling so accomplished because it's off your plate and it's done. I keep telling myself this about holiday shopping because, you know, Thanksgiving was so early this year. And I just keep thinking to myself, don't let that fool you. Christmas is going to be here before you know it. Mm-hmm. Get your stuff purchased so you're not. So anyway, you can tell I tend to be a last minute person. So again, don't be like me. Go on to nfb.org/scholarships. Apply. And if you win a scholarship, look forward to some awesome mentoring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this brings us to the end.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. We do have one more. And you know what? Again, It's social media time. We have to talk about our next social media ask, and we hope we get just as many. You know, we had too many to share this time. We would love to have too many to share again next time.
Yeah, that's a great feeling.
It is a great feeling, and thank you for that.
And we're sorry if we didn't get to read your tweet. Don't
very.
Let that discourage
don't,
you.
Don't, exactly. Keep tweeting in, keep or Facebooking, whatever you do. But we want to know for our next podcast, our December episode, what are your New Year's resolutions?
Ooh.
And are there any things that you're thinking about when you're trying to make your New Year's resolutions that you're sort of thinking, okay, this is really what I'd like to do? I don't know how exactly I'm going to accomplish this. And maybe it's because, like for me, I'd love to work out more, but I'm not a morning person. And I find that as the day goes along, my motivation to work out just gets lower and lower and lower. So mine is not so much.
So hold on. You wake up with low motivation to work out and it just gets lower as the day goes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And it's a time
it's
thing.
It's okay. We can cut this out of the podcast.
Because,
but I was just curious. Because,
anyway, yeah. Anyway, it's a whole other story. But, you know, mine is more just a normal kind of life thing. But I know sometimes in the past there's been things that I've thought, I really want to do this. It's my resolution. I don't really know how, as a blind person, I'm going to accomplish this. Or I don't know anybody else who's blind who's doing this. Or I can do parts of this, but I've never done this. I'm not comfortable with this. So certainly we want to know your resolutions. And if there's any questions that you have sort of specifically dealing with blindness with your resolutions, or maybe you've never met, maybe you want to start working out, but you've never met another blind person that does, and there's all these machines, and how are they accessible? Whatever it is, if you can ask some of those questions, that might help us even figure out what kind of guests exactly we want on next month's podcast. So please make sure that you tweet those to @NFB_voice.
Mm-hmm. You can email them to podcast@nfb.org.
And you can also search for us on Facebook, National Federation of the Blind.
And what are we missing? Twitter?
No, you can call us.
Oh, see, now this is the true evolution. And that's normally where I used to go, old school, but there you go.
410-659-9314. Extension 2444. That number again. Just teasing. So please get that social media and voicemails. We haven't had a voicemail for a while. We'd love to have your own voices on the podcast.
There you go.
But here is our last social media blurb that we'd like to share. And it works so nice because it really puts in some language from our one-minute message. And this is from Lisa Kidder, and it says, NFB mentors have taught me how to advocate for myself and have helped me realize that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you.
Awesome. So yeah. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.